You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to learn, love, lead, to reflect the light of Jesus. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live your life in such a way that others would see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven.
Remember last week? Passing the buck, passing guilt on to others. Now, if you were not here last week or were not able to listen online, for the next few weekends, all the way up to Palm Sunday, we'll be working through the Old Testament lessons from the lectionary. Old Testament lessons that will point us ultimately to the cross. Point us to Jesus. The words we will be focusing on each week will begin with the letter G. What was last week's word? Guilt. We established that indeed it is our fault. Our fault that sin is part of us. That the original paradise, the original perfect creation, because of sin, needs to be redeemed. You might remember last week I asked you a question. What would you have done if you were God on that fateful day in the garden? Well, today, we get to find out what God did. We remember how he went about his business of redeeming the brokenness that sin brought into his creation. It took a while, like around 2,000 years before God revealed his plan to his people, and we read about it in Genesis 12. But a lot occurs between Genesis 3 and Genesis 12. Cain kills Abel. There's an increase in evil and corruption in the world. A great flood that nearly destroys everything. There's a covenant with the faithful ark builder Noah. Lots of descendants from Noah. There's the Tower of Babel, the disbursement of all of the people in different languages, and then finally, Abraham. 2,000 years between Genesis 3 and 4. Abraham, an ordinary man, nothing special, is called by God to do extraordinary things. He uses Abraham to reveal and to promise something. It's in the title of the sermon today, Turn of Grace. So there you have it, our G word this week, grace. But the first word, turn, should not be ignored. It's used, I found out this week, almost 1,000 times the word turn in the Old Testament alone. It sounds like this in Hebrew, if we want to take a peek. Shuv. It implies a complete physical or spiritual reversal. Usually in the Old Testament, it refers to turning away from a direction to return to God. Well, you think of the word turn, we use it a lot today too, probably more than you think. Sometimes in positive ways, sometimes in negative. A negative, like this. Turn your back on someone. Turn a blind eye. Turn a deaf ear. Turn one's stomach. Take a turn for the worse. Kind of negative, aren't they? But we use them and hear them all the time. But we also use turn in positive ways. Turn over a new leaf. Turn the tide. Turn the corner. Turn things around. Kind of like what Sam Hoiberg does when he comes back in the basketball game second half yesterday. Turn things around. Take a turn for the better. And that's what's happening in Genesis 12, a turn for the better after 2,000 years of people floundering around after sin, because of sin. It turns literally and figuratively right here in Genesis 12. The literal turn, let's take a look at a map. So put your eyes down there, right side corner, down there by Ur. That's where it starts. That's where Abraham, we're going to say Abraham. I know he's Abram until he gets his name changed. We're going to say Abraham. That's where Abraham started. That's where he grew up. Tell his father, who remembers his father's name? Begins with T. Terah, Terah, something like that. It's not spelled the same. Okay? He says, oh, we're moving. Let's go, people. Load it all up. And they move. They move up to, follow the red arrows, up to Haran or Haran. And that's where they are for a while until Daddy dies. And then God comes to Abram, comes to Abraham. The turn. The turn all the way south to the land of Canaan. Never been there before. The land flowing with milk and honey. It's a turn of faith, that turn. This is a turn down to a people that don't even worship Abraham's God. A turning point in God's salvation plan for his people, and Abraham believes God's promises for him. What are those promises? Land, which he receives. Descendants to make a great nation, which will happen. And the most important thing, he will be a blessing to all people. Father Abraham. Remember that song? Father Abraham had many sons. I'll stop. Now it's in your head. I never should have started that. This Abraham, Father Abraham, by faith, Father Abraham made a turn. A turn filled with grace. Grace that guarded him, grace that saved him, grace that guides and saves us still today. God's grace was given to Abraham and through Abraham. Yes, this is a big deal today. Not quite the biggest deal, but a big deal. Everything turns right here because of God's grace. God turns intentionally and fully to his broken creation through the calling of Abraham. All nations, all peoples, all families will be blessed through him. And it's the start of the story that leads us to Jesus and ultimately to the cross and the empty tomb. What God began doing through Abraham, he continued through the life and ministry of Jesus. Another 2,000 years later. 2,000 years later when Jesus was turned or made a turn of grace. A turn toward Jerusalem. A turn to his death. But a turn to our eternal lives. When the days, from Luke 9, when the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. Turned to Jerusalem because of one thing, grace, his grace. A love and a willingness to save his people from their sins. Sins. St. Augustine defines sin as being turned in on ourselves. Unfortunately, it's our human nature being turned in on ourselves. Remember David last week? After hearing this pitiful story from the prophet Nathan about this rich, selfish, turned in on himself man, David said, well, he deserves to die. Yep. And so do I, and so do you. Deserve to die. But God continues to be kind, continues to be gracious and good, even when his people are not. Kind, gracious, and good to you. And that's a reason to celebrate. But it can't be the end of the story. You see, God's grace is not just for you, it's for all people. God's grace is given to you to share with others. When God's grace is in action, it turns us in that direction. Most of us have some type of navigation on our phone. Some of us still have navigation in our vehicles. And if you get off course, take a wrong turn, what does it tell you? Redirecting, rerouting. That's what a turn to grace does for us. It's given to us to share with others. It begs the question this morning, how is God turning you in grace toward others in your life? Again, how is God turning you in grace toward others in your life? I'm going to add another question. How is God turning us as a congregation, as this community of believers, in grace toward others? Sometimes redirecting us, sometimes rerouting us. It can be little ways. It can be big ways. Look at the quilts around you. Little things that become big things. Late last fall, a member of our congregation was in an accident, and her car was completely totaled. She doesn't have the funds to buy a different car. Maybe someday. But now she has all kinds of medical problems, and she has multiple surgeries coming up. Her family can't help her get to where she needs to be. Sometimes it's Omaha. What to do? Time for God's grace. A member here at Trinity volunteered to take her here and there and later here and there. It's God's grace, sharing with others. On my way to church this morning, sometimes I catch the end of the Lutheran Hour sermon. And it's like, I don't even know what the text is, but it sounds like he's preaching on my text. And he was telling a story of a woman who was in a grocery line. long line. And the young girl, the checker, is having a bad day. You can see it on her face. She was angry. She was frustrated, almost in tears. What was she going to do when she got up there? Was she going to make her life a little better? Give her a little grace? Was she going to complain too that she couldn't find the whole milk in aisle 5? She gave her God's grace. On the way out to her car, pushing her cart with her groceries, a random man who's kind of watching all of this, he said, "Pardon me, ma'am. I couldn't help but watching your interaction with that young lady. Are you a Christian?" Pretty important question, isn't it? God's grace. There are opportunities everywhere. What to do? Have you ever been on a corner waiting for the green arrow and then there's a homeless person 3 feet from your window? You ever been there? What to do? But it makes you a little uncomfortable, doesn't it? Think of how uncomfortable it was for Christ to be hanging on a tree. But that's what he did. He made a turn of grace to Jerusalem, and he never looked back. Turn of grace. Grace, undeserved forgiveness for you. The Apostle John put it this way in the first chapter of his gospel. And from his fullness, and I should have underlined or highlighted that word, fullness. We're going to come back to it. And from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. His fullness, Luther described this fullness of grace in one of his writings, as an eternal fountain or an inexhaustible well. An inexhaustible well for you and me to keep dipping in and dipping in and dipping in. Grace. It all started when God called Abraham to turn. Turn to grace. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.